Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's Sunday sermon, which is the 20th Sunday of the year. My name is Father Tom Casey, SMA, of the SMA Media Center in Ndola in Zambia, producing and presenting this program. In today's readings, we are a bit shocked when Jesus says, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." This is Jesus describing his mission, his purpose for entering into our world, to cast fire on the earth. Yet it had not happened yet. For with great longing in his voice, he tells his disciples, "How I wish it were already kindled." What is this fire about which Christ speaks of? How or when did he cast this fire to the earth? If he ever did, sometimes fire is equated with judgment. William Barclay beautifully paraphrases this verse. In other words, this is what way he said Jesus is saying: "I must be plunged into a flooding tide of suffering, and there can be no relief for me until I have gone through to the end." Jesus knows well that the coming kingdom of God is realized through tribulation, and for Jesus this means suffering and death. Jesus' baptism, the word is being used metaphorically here, is his suffering and death on the cross, his atoning sacrifice for sin on behalf of those who have put their trust in him for salvation. Jesus aligns himself with the Old Testament prophets when he reminds his listeners that the coming day of the Lord is not a day of peace, but rather is a day of judgment. The vision was one of the commonly expected signs of the coming messianic kingdom. For the present, the vision prefigures that terrible day, a division realized through the preaching of the gospel. Some accept the Spirit-inspired message, and many reject it. And so now, with the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, families can expect that household members will turn against one another. Some members of the family will stand with Jesus, and others will stand against him. Simeon looked at the baby Jesus and saw that he would be a sign of contradiction to many. Jesus would not be the affirmer in chief, but rather as one who spoke the truth and feared no one. He would stand out clearly and announce the truth without compromise. He would be a sign of contradiction to the world and its ways. Some would love him and many would hate him, but no one would remain neutral. He would make us choose. No third way is given. You are for him or against him. Evangelization is not a war with the world, nor does becoming a sign of contradiction mean withdrawing from the world. The world is already mired in conflict, fractured and atomized. Becoming a sign of contradiction means witnessing to something more delightful, more profound and more meaningful than what our world offers. Every human heart is made for love. Every human wants to be free. God made us that way. And becoming signs of contradiction means witnessing to the love and freedom and mercy that we have experienced in Jesus Christ. Becoming signs of contradiction means speaking from the heart to one another of the love of Jesus Christ. God calls each one of us to that mission. May we have the courage to become signs of contradiction, witnesses of love, and to proclaim that God calls every human heart to his eternal mercy. Jesus remains a sign of contradiction in our world today. The 20th century had more Christian martyrs than any previous one, from Maximilian Kolbe and Edith Stein in Nazi Germany to Mikhail Pro and the Cristeros martyrs in Mexico, not to mention all the courageous martyrs for the faith in Vietnam, Russia, Middle East, Africa, especially Uganda, and many other places. Pope Francis, in his apostolic exhortation, namely the Gospel of Joy, writes about what should disturb us today. He says, if something should rightly disturb us and trouble our consciences, it is the fact that so many of our sisters and brothers are living without the strength, light, and consolation born of friendship with Jesus Christ. End of quote. These words have special meaning for us who have the great honor of receiving Jesus today. And to the church, Christ says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. That's from John chapter 15, verse 18 to 21. But Paul VI said it so well in his encyclical Humanae Vitae. The Church does not evade the duty imposed on her of proclaiming humbly but firmly the entire moral law, both natural and evangelical. Since the Church did not make either of these laws, she cannot be their arbiter, only their guardian and interpreter. It could never be right for her to declare lawful what is in fact unlawful, since that by its very nature is always opposed to the true good for humankind. End of quote. Our Saviour clearly taught that if we proclaim and hold the true gospel, we must be prepared for division, even among our family members. As J.C. Ryle pointed out, it is not the gospel which is to blame for such divisions, but the corrupt heart of the world. But we must stand with our Lord, even when it results in such painful divisions. May God help us to remain faithful and strong and remain good witnesses to the truth that Jesus came to reveal. May God bless you. This is Father Tom Casey, SMA, of the SMA Media Center in Dola in Zambia, signing off now and wishing you every God's blessing.